Nati prasida dridhaya.
Nati prasida dridhaya.
Sarasya chastate sucho.
Sarasya chastate sucho.
Vitakaya viviktastha.
Vitakaya viviktastha.
Idam chuvacha dhamma dharmavit.
Idam chuvacha dharmavit.
Nati. Word for translation. Na.
Not.
Adviprasidat.
Adviprasidat.
Very much satisfied.
Hridaya.
At heart.
Sarasvatya.
Of the river Sarasvati.
Tate.
On the bank of.
Shuchau.
Being purified.
Vidakaryan.
Having considered.
Viviktastha,
situated in a lonely place.
Idamcha,
also this.
Uvacha,
said.
Dharmavid,
one who knows what religion is. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktisiddhanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thus the sage, being dissatisfied at heart, at once began to reflect, because he knew the essence of religion, and he said within himself. Purport. The sage began to search out the cause of not being satisfied at heart. Perfection is never attained until one is satisfied at heart. This satisfaction of heart has to be searched out beyond matter.
Om Jnanati Milandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshumi Tanyena Tasmai Shri Rupe Namaha Shri Chaitanya Milogisam Shati Tanyena Bhutale Swayam Vapadamyam Dadati Swapadam Kitam Mukam Karochi Vachalam Pangam Langai Te Givim Yakipata Mahamdali Shri Gurum Jinatari Nam Pancha Kalpa Trivishtra Kripasim Yubya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanavyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So Hare Krishna. We are on the chapter explaining the appearance of Shri Narada. So in this verse, which sage is being referred to, who's questioning is the satisfaction at heart within or not? Srila Vyasadev. And what's the relation of Srila Vyasadev to Sri Narada Muni? This episode, Narada Muni is going to appear on the site to give instruction to Srila Vyasadev, who was dissatisfied with his service that he had done. So that is the threat we've been hearing about the compassion that the sages had, specifically Srila Vyasadev, in compiling the Vedic literatures. Of course, you know, in Kali Yuga, there's so many different diluted forms of trying to attain self-realization. So in the Bhagavad Gita as well, Krishna had explained to Arjuna the different ways of practicing yoga. He'd explained the karma yoga system, he'd explained jnana yoga, he has explained dhyana yoga, or the path by practicing the Eightfold Yoga system, and he's left it up to Arjuna to make his choice into which yoga system he would like to follow. Of course, highlighting that the process of bhakti yoga is the highest. So here the compassion that's being spoken about, the sages at Namaisharanya, as well as Srila Vyasadeva, they have actually compiled or described the Vedic literatures in a digestible way for the residents of Kali Yuga. So understanding the characteristics of Kali Yuga, the sages explaining that prayena palusya syava kalavas minyuge jana mandasu manda matayo manda bhavya hiupadutaha, that in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. Right, that's the one thing that we can all relate to. Some people don't even make it out of the womb of the mother. And some people die at a very early age. Life expectancy in certain countries is very low, etc. So we see with this aspect of having short lives, it is definitely there in Kali Yuga. Although we're just 5,000 years into Kali Yuga, we can see these traits. And that they, the persons in Kali Yuga, they are quarrelsome. They are lazy. They are unlucky and they're misguided. So it's a misguided civilization because there is a lack of a Brahminical class, and the Brahminical class is there to give spiritual insight, it's there to give the leaders and the citizens as well spiritual paths so that they're not only cared for materially but also spiritually. So as Srila Prabhupada always expressed that there has to be, he wants to create a Brahminical class so that we can actually guide society, because at the present moment it is the blind leading the blind. But there's so many unscrupulous personalities who in the garb of philosophy or in the guise of humanitarianism are exploiting others for their own personal benefit. So this is why it's happening in Kali Yuga. And the lack of intelligence, we also see intelligence doesn't just only mean you know that 1 + 1 = 2, or you know the square root of 4 or 8 or whatever. That is not real intelligence. Intelligence means pertaining to the understanding of reality and what illusion is and how to make discrimination between the two. So that requires knowledge. That also requires Divya Gyan. So that has been that we can see in the society that we're living in. So very important enough, we know that Srimad Bhagavatam, of course Srila Vyasadeva has compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam out of his compassion, because originally all the Veda was one. And after seeing, or after understanding, because the sages had transcendental vision, they could understand what would happen in the future. So they wanted to give the residents of Kali Yuga a method that they could use to actually attain self-realization. They could not do it through meditation because of these frailties, short lives, not intelligent, always have a troubled mind. So we couldn't also do it through sacrifices or meditation like it was done in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga and Dwapara Yuga, because of these same defects, and because the opulences of the earth have reduced, it is not possible to actually perform all these different sacrifices. So they could see that, so they wondered, in what way can we actually keep the essence of the Vedas and still give the conditioned souls struggling in Kali Yuga an opportunity to perfect their lives and go back home, back to Godhead. And hence the sages assembled at Namaisharanya, headed by Maitreya Rishi, and Sutta Goswami as well came to speak the Bhagavatam. And in that way they understood, by speaking this Bhagavatam and given the Yuga Dharma, the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga could actually get a chance to make it back home, back to Godhead. So this is the compassionate nature of the great sages, or those who are directly in contact with the teachings of the Vedas, those who know the purpose of the Vedas, those who know that Krishna is the goal of the Vedic literatures. So the Vedic literatures, of course, they were one, and then they were expanded into four. So we had the Rig Veda, the Samaveda Veda, the Yajurveda, and the Atharva Veda, and the fifth Veda, of course, the Mahabharata, which was explained, Prabhupada is explaining that this fifth Veda was actually compiled by Srila Vyasadeva as the essence of all the other four Vedas, because people wouldn't actually be able to understand the first four parts of the Vedas. So he compiled the Mahabharata, which is easy understandable, it's in story form. So he compiled the Mahabharata, in which the Bhagavad Gita has been spoken. And that is what the people of the conditioned souls needed to hear. So Bhagavad Gita was also spoken, the Puranas, the histories, they were all there in the Mahabharata. And this was the way in which the conditioned souls could gradually get purified and start hearing about the glorious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now in this verse specifically, what's being explained is the dissatisfaction of Srila Vyasadeva after having compiled the Vedas. And this dissatisfaction of heart is pointing out that unless we actually deal with Krishna directly, we cannot be satisfied at heart. We can indirectly try to understand Krishna through the different mystic yoga performances, through different karmic activities, through different methods of mental speculation and philosophizing, etc. But actually, real fulfillment will not come unless we actually approach Krishna directly. Hence, Srila Vyasadeva is showing that unless we actually search out Krishna, who is beyond matter, we cannot become satisfied. So all other processes, as we know, they are tinged. There's some kind of mixed devotion. Jnana without bhakti is useless. If we're performing our work without Krishna bhakti, then it will not produce any fruit. But it's like a drop of, as Prabhupada explains, it's like a drop of water in the desert. So all activities, anything that we do without Krishna as the center, it is a waste of time. So we can dedicate our entire life to, you know, in a bold way we could say, some people, you know, being a nice citizen, being a nice person, caring for the whales and for the pigs, for the plant, for so many different things, but unless we make the connection to Krishna, then there's no value. Because we're just seeing things from a material point of view. We're just seeing matter, we're not seeing the spirit behind the creation. So unless we actually dovetail all our activities into spiritual activities, unless we see beyond matter, we cannot actually become satisfied at heart. And Prabhupada is explaining, Srila Vyasadeva was not satisfied at heart because he did not directly touch on Krishna's activities. Although he had perfectly explained the Vedas, he had perfectly explained everything from the histories, the Puranas, the Rig Veda, the Samaveda, Yajurveda, he had delineated everything perfectly, but still he was not satisfied because the living entity is eternally a part and parcel of Krishna. A part and parcel means an eternal dependent relationship. Even if you desire for some time to be independent, the nature is you actually have an eternal dependent relationship. And unless you go back to that original or that organic relationship, there is no satisfaction. Just as we see with Mother Cow, she will not satisfactorily give her milk, although we can force her to give her milk, unless the calf is there. And that is why in the industry now they are using machines to milk her. And her milk is coming out infused with blood because it is not natural for her to give milk without her calf. So it is not natural for us to become happy unless we're directly pursuing activities beyond matter. It is actually just not possible. The so-called happiness that we might experience in the flash of happiness that is in this mature world is just a relief of intense suffering. Right, we're happy. Oh, I just have tuberculosis. I don't have AIDS. I'm happy. But you're still suffering, but you see it as happiness because it is not intense, as intense as having another sort of disease. So everyone in Kali Yuga has, to some degree, we're all mentally deranged because we're identifying with the body. We're identifying with something that we're not. So, of course, in the long term, we're all in a hospital and we're getting treatment. And some patients are following the prescriptions, they're following the orders of the doctors, and some are not. And this, we can see this is the nature of Kali Yuga. Some personalities do not want to take the medicine for curing this illusion of thinking that we are matter. So unless we actually make a firm decision to practice spiritual life in such a way that we're seeking our natural or our original consciousness, then we cannot be happy at all. We can experience some flash of a relief of distress, but that is actually not happiness. Happiness pertains to the soul, and one cannot be happy unless they know what the real self is. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita the peace formula, that unless we actually know what the real self is, how can you seek out happiness? If you think the self is the body, then you go on trying to gratify the body in its gross and subtle way, but still there is dissatisfaction. We see it in every field, in every kind of scope, in every paradigm, whether it's art or history or music or technology. There's always a need, one, for some kind of upgrade, some kind of latest version of everything, the latest version of sense gratification in technology. Don't just have a Samsung, or don't just have an iPhone. Have an iPhone 4, and then 2 months later there'll be another one. So when you get that latest version, you're happy. And then you get bored with it, so you want something else. Or when you, anything that you do. In music, in arts and culture, so many different variations are there because we're actually not experiencing happiness. We keep on wanting more and more. And the gist of it is, actually, we cannot get happiness from matter. That is why we keep going around in circles trying to find fresh flavor. But as you know, we're just chewing the chewed. You know how the cow has four stomachs? So that we chew with material nature here, we want something else, we go into the next, we chew again. We chew, and then we go back again and start the process all over again. But it's just chewing the chewed. No matter how much you squeeze out of it, it cannot give you a new or fresher flavor. So you want something else. You squeeze it, it won't give you the flavor. Then you go somewhere else, you squeeze it, it won't give you the flavor. You go somewhere else, squeeze, nothing comes out. Like in India, you have the sugarcane wallahs who give you sugarcane juice. Have you seen how much they grind and it becomes dry? To the point where you can't actually get any juice from the sugarcane. Material will function in a way that although it's dry, will still try and squeeze something out of that dry cane, thinking that even if it's just a drop, just one moment, just a little bit, that's satisfaction. And people think that is happiness. I always normally mention this song by Whitney Houston. She sings, "Give me one moment in time." So people just work for their entire lives hoping that they'll have 5 minutes of happiness. Forget all the suffering, it's fine. But I just want 5 minutes out of my 80 years in this life to be happy. So happiness cannot be derived out of anything material. Material consciousness, material conception of life, individual selfishness, or extended selfishness. I'm working for the pigs, or I'm working for the whales, and the chickens, and the ducks. Without connecting everything to Krishna, actually we can't be happy. We have to be able to see Krishna, because Krishna says he's everywhere, he's in matter, he's the source of the material and the spiritual creation. But we're of a different nature. We're his parts and parcels. But if we forget that we're actually Krishna's parts and parcels, you know, Krishna is such a great personality that he never uses force. Like, has everyone who likes being forced here? Let's see. Okay, maybe being forced to honor Mahaprasadam, that's great. I don't think anyone will have a problem with that. But let's say you are forced to do everything every single day. Get up at this time, you do this, do that. I don't want to hear anything. You have to. So there's this force. At the end of the day, you're just in fear. Right? There's no love. You're very fearful. If I don't do this, oh, they will kill me, they will sack me. So Krishna, he is supremely independent. And Krishna can do what he likes. But we are actually eternally dependent. Even for this attaining this material body, we're dependent on Mother Nature. our mind, we are dependent on Krishna, actually. Nothing that we do is independent. Our walking propensity, our seeing, our blinking, all these has been created by the Supreme Lord to facilitate us. So the jiva has minute independence, we have free will. Therefore there cannot be any question of force when you try to relate to Krishna. So Krishna provides a material playground, and we can choose what we want to do with it. Do we want to get sucked in, or do you want to get released out of that creation? How we deal with Krishna is completely up to it's up to us. We cannot blame the environment. We cannot blame our parents. We can't blame the media. We can't blame the nation. We're not forced to go out there and engage in intoxication. You can say no. We're not forced to become mental speculators. We can choose. No, I don't want to be a speculator. I don't want to be a sense gratifier. I don't want to be so absorbed in my body, which is temporary and always changing. We're not forced to do these things. We can choose what we want to do because we have this minute independence. This is how we were designed. This is the marginal potency of Krishna. Krishna has a spiritual potency, Satchidananda, and he has the material energy, which is asat. It doesn't give anyone bliss. I don't know if you're all blissful in the material creation when in Durga Dham or in Devi Dham, when we have all these miseries and happiness and distress from all sorts of living entities, from our own mind, our own body, from natural disturbances. No one is happy when that happens. So this is, the material nature is meant to act in that way, to wake us up. To wake us up from, why am I feeling dissatisfied in my existence at this point in time? So even Srila Vyasadeva, who compiled the Vedic literatures, is showing by his example that actually unless you connect directly with Krishna, who is completely spirit, he is completely Satchidananda, and he's never tainted by the material modes of nature, unless you connect with that personality, then you'll never be satisfied at heart. No amount of material desire or material resources can actually ever fulfill the living entity. So the sages have understood it. Srila Vyasadeva has understood it. So they are presenting Krishna in an easily digestible manner for the residents of Kali Yuga, who are Krishna's parts and parcels. But because they are identifying with matter, they are struggling very hard with the senses, including the mind. Krishna mentions this in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So the sages are very compassionate that they are performing this 7-year sacrifice to be able to give us the cream of the cream, really, if we think about it. That Srila Prabhupada himself has also come and given us his purport so that we can understand actually what Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining. And Srila Prabhupada gave us a sequence of elevation to pure consciousness. It's not haphazard. You don't choose that this day or this point in time I will focus very hard and then Krishna Prem will come. And Srila Prabhupada has educated us through the knowledge of the previous acharyas, the six Goswamis, Baladev Virubhusan, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. We have these checks and balances that will help us gradually make progress on the path of perfection. It's not that we just spring from day one, day seven, we're pure devotees. We have to be free from any kind of karma, jnana, mental speculation. It has to be completely zilch. It has to go. Otherwise, it's mixed bhakti. Srila Prabhupada did not want us to perform mixed devotional service. He wanted us to become pure devotees. And for that reason, he's given us this process. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, although sometimes we might read about dynasties, We might read about the appearance of this personality, the life of this king, that personality. We shouldn't think that it is all useless and it's not pertaining to Krishna's internal potency, or it's not pertaining to Krishna's rasa lila. Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, every single verse explains that you can actually attain Krishna prem by reading any verse from the Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam has nothing to do with pious activities of Vanashram system, or the piety of, you know, strict vows and tapasya and renunciation. The Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us pure bhakti, reminding us that we're eternal servants of Krishna. We're all servants. So it has, Srimad Bhagavatam has nothing to do with the modes of material nature. It is about the modes of material nature because it is directly touching Krishna. It is directly Krishna's lotus feet. So when we get absorbed actually in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you're directly relating to Krishna. You're directly relating to the Saman Bonam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Same happens when you chant Hare Krishna. You are in direct union with Krishna. So it is our choice. We see with our previous teachers how they practiced devotional service in such a serious, in such a fixed manner, so that they actually get the most condensed form of bhakti. So we don't want just a slightly diluted form with a little bit of karma, a little bit of jnana, a little bit of sense gratification here. Then we want the full juice. So they had their sadhana, they had their shravanam and kirtanam, which forms the basis and foundation in every single stage of elevation to pure bhakti. There has to be hearing and chanting. So hearing about the Lord's activities, hearing His name, saying His pastimes, this forms the foundation for receiving Krishna Prem. We have to be hearing about this personality, otherwise you won't want to serve this personality. When Maharaj Parikshit was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, he didn't have, you know, of course we cannot imitate, but the principle Prabhupada was explaining that he was attentively hearing Bhagavatam. He didn't eat, he didn't sleep. He was attentively hearing. Now this is an hearing is an anga of bhakti. We have to hear about Krishna. And the mood we hear in will come out in our devotional service. To the degree that we hear and chant attentively with sincerity and with devotion, we will make the advancement, because Krishna as the super soul is in the heart and He gives the understanding. So based on our desire, our shravanam and our kirtanam will either be highly elevated, or it can be marginal, or it can be very weak. So we can choose what kind of devotees we want to be, taking guidance from these sages. Now, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya is conversing with Haridas Thakur, speaking about the glories of the holy name, and we've all heard this before, Lord Chaitanya says, one who chants Hare Krishna once is a Vaishnava. And that is a fact. He should be considered a Vaishnava, one who even chants Hare Krishna once. And he says, even better, one who chants Hare Krishna with rapt attention, that person is even better. But the most elevated personality is one by whose chanting he attracts others to chant Hare Krishna or to hear the glories of Krishna. So we can see the potency of Srila Prabhupada. He sat down and he was chanting Hare Krishna, or he was preaching Krishna, and he attracted so many people. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us to also do that, that we perform devotional service in such a way that others become attracted to Krishna. Not that we just keep Krishna to ourselves, but we actually give Krishna. So we can aspire for attaining that level, that we practice devotional service, and naturally we evolve to this point by the mercy of Guru Krishna and the Vaishnavas, that we attract others to also come and hear and chant about Krishna. So this is not a mechanical process, it is a natural evolution of the soul. Our attraction to Krishna naturally evolves as we hear and chant. And in this way, this is the only way we can actually become satisfied at heart when we seek out the spiritual, our spiritual nature and our relation to Krishna. Because we're Krishna's fragmental parts and parcels, we have a tendency to fall into the material pool, but we can overcome that by rendering devotional service to the lotus feet of Krishna. And in that way we can understand what the real goal of life is. We can understand what pure Krishna consciousness is, free from all sorts of motives. So the sages of Namaisharanya, Srila Vyasadeva, all the acharyas, they are giving the same message in a different way for a particular breed of living entities. So they're giving the same message that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we're eternally His parts and parcels, and they are giving it to us in a way that we can understand. Be we Shudras, be we Brahmanas, etc. Prabhupada said, you know, the Shastra says in Kali Yuga we're all unqualified. So Prabhupada has explained the topmost level of reaching Krishna in an easily digestible manner, without actually adding or subtracting or changing the philosophy. But he's giving it to us in a way we can very easily grasp and digest. So we can take advantage of the words of Srimad Bhagavatam and try and understand Krishna. And Krishna is a person, we can access him. Krishna is not a belief, he's not a theory, he's not an amazing prince who was there in the Mahabharata. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by understanding his birth, his activities, his pastimes, his opulences, we develop the right mood into understanding who he is and who we are. And in that way it becomes very easy to perfect our lives and be fully satisfied in serving Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes, Ms. Anandina. Managing. You're chanting? About the different levels of I'll chant the verse. You can also find it in Harinam Chintamani. Tadai Gauranga Jaya 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 Shikakam Gaudai Gauranga Jaya Jana Vajivana Sri Advaita Jaya Shiva Sari Bhaktaganam. So here this is the response that Lord Chaitanya was given in that purport Srila Prabhupada is explaining. I'll just read it here. Lord Chaitanya said, whoever says the holy name once is considered a Vaishnava. But one who is constantly chanting the holy name is even a better Vaishnava. And one by whose very presence can make others chant the name of the Lord, he is the highest Vaishnava. So not only pertaining to chanting, but even our hearing or our recitation of Shastra by preaching, if we can elevate ourselves to that platform of being Goswami, having controlled senses, a controlled mind, becoming knowledgeable and putting the philosophy into practice, that attracts living entities. That will attract others to us to hear more about Krishna. So preaching doesn't only mean that it's not only cornered into chanting Hare Krishna on the street or distributing prasadam only or just little compartments, but our entire lifestyle is preaching. If people see that we're regulated, they will ask you, you know, why do you wake up so early every day and you chant every day, you read every day, what is this about? Why do you do this? And then you can easily explain, to remind myself who Krishna is, I meditate every single day, not when I feel like it. And they become impressed because they think, oh, this is an amazing lifestyle. This is a pure lifestyle. So if we actually elevate ourselves to this higher point, if we aspire for this higher point of attracting others to Krishna, then we become really powerful preachers in Lord Chaitanya's mission, because we attract other conditioned souls to hearing about Krishna. And the more conditioned souls become attracted, as we were hearing from Vyasaki Prabhu, the more pleased Srila Prabhupada is and the more pleased the acharyas are. Lord Chaitanya didn't just come to save 10,000 people or 20,000 or people in Russia or North America or South America. It's everyone. From whomever we meet, as Prabhupada said, you tell them about Krishna. Purity is the essence. Yadushwasa Prabhu, would you like to add anything? Corrections? Thus the sage, being dissatisfied at heart, at once began to reflect because he knew the essence of religion, and he said within himself, so tomorrow on we'll hear about we'll hear the rest of the question that Srila Vyasadeva was asking himself. He's done this, he's done that, why am I feeling like this? And eventually Srila Narada Muni will come and within his heart make him understand where he went wrong. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.